Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Studios, let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Live Love Memphis Group at the Real Estate Agency. They're doing great work over there every day. Jennifer Carstensen doing her best, and it's great. Her best is as good as it gets at getting folks the most money possible for their home so you don't leave a dollar on the table. I know for 5.5 years ago when she sold my home, couldn't believe what she said we were going to get it sold for. I said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that out here in Raleigh. You're not going to get that. She did, and that was a situation where I was underwater. So, again, just getting me back to zero was a miracle. Just hard work and what she does, frankly, on a day-to-day basis over at Live Love. Vanneman, same story. Other agents and investors have told them there's no way they could sell that home, get them out from under it. Jennifer Carstensen comes in, tells them, no, they're wrong. Watch me. And gets it done, gets them in their dream home. So, again, where others fail, Jennifer Carstensen has had great success. And I will tell you this. She doesn't just specialize in helping folks get the most money for their current home, what they have now. First-time home buyers, maybe you're in a renting situation. She wants to help you specifically. Again, her mission is to lower rentership in Memphis and increase home ownership. So first-time home buyers, do not be intimidated by, you know, the answers potentially to questions that you don't know the answers to. Make the call. Don't be like me and put it off forever. 901-625-5200, like I like to say, the least. She can be for you as a great resource, Jennifer Carstensen. Wonderful what she does. Give her a shot, 625-5200. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. All right, I'll tell you a little bit about last night before we get to Brad's pick here. We've got Nuggets and Timberwolves. Obviously, game six tonight. Denver in control, leading 3-2. Brad went 2-0 last night. Had Cavaliers plus 15.5. Had Dallas plus 4.5. Let me tell you something about that Cavaliers-Celtics game. Because I was locked in to the end. I told you, it's like I got $100 riding on every game doing this damn segment with Brad.
Same.
So I'm locked in. I'm rooting for Brad to get losses so that our listeners who are still sticking with us and are fading him, well, based on a trust that they have in your ability to pick losers, I'm rooting for them.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting against Brad.
And
we
told
you it's a backwards segment where we want Brad to pick losers so that we're fading him and winning. Mm-hmm. And at one point, we were winning at a very high clip. After Brad goes 2-0 last night, again, damn Evan Mobley for that last bucket. Damn Evan Mobley for that last bucket. Do you realize the Celtics were up 17?
Yep, I do.
The number was 15.5.
Yes.
And that Mobley basket brought it down to 15.
And that's two games in a row.
Bad beat.
You know, there's another game the night before.
Went the other way the night before where Caris LeVert helped us beat you, helped us, in this case, Faye Brad, and win.
Yeah.
Last night it went the other way. It was a bad beat for our listeners. Brad, though, what I love, and you have to give him credit for, he's not just picking favorites here. Last night, he took the underdogs and he took the points.
Yep.
Okay? These are integrity picks.
Called my shot, by the way. I said very specifically on your broadcast, I said, Jason, the Celtics are going to win the game. I think I said it four times.
Weirdly, I think he's getting better at picking, y'all. I think that's what's happening here because, as evidenced by the last 10 games he's done this, he's picked seven correct winners versus the spread.
Yeah.
That is not,
not easy to do. The Golden Goose has flown. The Golden Goose has
somebody
flown.
Somebody shot it. Exactly.
It got
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's shot out of the sky.
I don't know if this was a pride thing where you just decided, I'm tired of picking losers, I'm going to turn it around.
Yeah.
Or if indeed you're getting better at this,
I don't think so.
Can't keep having these winning nights if this segment's
going to continue
to be successful. Brad, you want to know that number. I know you do.
The percentage
is
where we're
every
focused.
Day, where's the percentage now?
I want
now?
The percentage to go up, and I'm rooting for me to be wrong.
Right, which is backwards, but it's fun.
It is what it is.
25 and 34. You are now only 9 games below 500. Again, a 7-3 clip over the last 10 has really improved your percentage, which in turn has decreased our winning percentage for those that are fading you. We are now down to 57.6% for those fading you. Now, a sharp would tell you that's a great hit rate.
Yeah.
But for us, who have long held up our above 60% clip.
That's right.
At one point, Brad was in the damn 80s. He got off to such a bad start.
It was bad.
We are coming down.
Yeah.
And so we are going to need you, those of us that are still trusting and hoping that this is one of the best edges in betting. We're going to need you to come back down to earth, stop being Joe Fortenball, start getting these things wrong again. That said, we don't want you to change your process. No extra pressure here. Let's get to Fade Brad.
Your love is fading.
Now, it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to Fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
I mean, you should have seen me late when Horford hit that late three to put him up 17. I'm screaming. I'm saying, Chris,
oh, no.
Fade Brad has still got the power.
And then
but Mobley decided he wanted to get to 33 points and pad his stats and get him a nice little left. And, of course, Celtics up 15 at that point aren't going to go get an easy layup. Nobody was going to be the gentleman, right, and not gosh.
Didn't matter.
And
you
so
still were going to lose.
Wins
what are you
again.
Doing, Evan Mobley?
I know. I mean, I'm too old for this. I'm not even betting, but it's killing me.
Listen, I don't have the budget for plastic surgery like Joe Fortenbaugh, so we've got a long way to go here. We're still in the high 50s in the percentages.
57.6 would be good if you were a sharp and you were picking winners.
Yeah, take it.
Okay?
You take it.
So we are still at an excellent clip.
In the game, Jason.
But we need you to start going the other way.
All right.
7:30 tonight.
On 92.9.
ESPN. You can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Hopefully you can hear Brad pick it wrong. Wolves tonight in Game 6. We mentioned it. Feels like they've lost control of this series. First time all season long they've lost 3 in a row. They are 2-point favorites. Brad, I've checked the line.
That's a change for my number.
This is the most up-to-the-date, up to the second
all
line
right.
that I have.
That's
just
a change
checked
for
FanDuel.
My circle.
Wolves are -2 tonight. Anthony Edwards and the crew back in Minnesota. Brad, what's the process look like?
Well, as you know, and the listeners know by now, having been doing Fade Brad for a solid 2 weeks while John Martin is on paternity leave.
Almost 3.
Yeah,
for
we're
him
almost
on,
through 3.
Believe me, I'm counting his paternity week.
We will have 2 more weeks. We will be off for Memorial Day, but don't worry, we'll have plenty of NBA content and ESPN programming. Having said all of that, I got to be careful here because I don't want to sound like an expert. I haven't done any analysis on this. That's part of the process.
Well, you didn't do any in the last 10, and you picked 7 right. It shows you how crazy
but
and foolish this all is.
I at least am aware of how these games are going. They're a series, right?
Yes.
You get to see games.
They're
so
a series.
The one thing that really breaks my heart about this Timberwolves series is the fact that Mike Conley is not going to have an opportunity to win a championship because he's old and he's banged up. And he's a game-time decision tonight. He probably will or will not play, but he's not going to be at full strength.
He probably will or will not.
And that breaks my damn heart. The last time he had a good game was when he was over here at Billy Hardwick's bowling for charity. But I digress.
Wow. Well, shot at Mike. He didn't know he was going to catch that straight today.
I don't want to get astray. I love Mike Conley.
Don't we?
I'm starting to
imagine. There's a story in the CA about us rooting for him.
No, I'm rooting for Mike Conley. This is not Mike Conley's roast. I just, you know, Mike, I hate it because we do want Mike to win. We want Mike to win a championship. However, they are playing the Denver Nuggets. Mike will not be winning a championship with the Minnesota Timberwolves unless they can keep going and figure this out with a healthy Grizzlies in their division next year. Let's say that, to say this, the game tonight is a 2-point spread. Looking at the very, just pulled right up in front of me, the very latest statistics, Jason,
You've got stats this time, not just the injury report.
No, just the injury report. That's all I've got.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know that these get updated very much over there.
Jamal Murray is a game-time decision. He will play. I promise you that Jamal Murray will be playing basketball. I assume that Mike will play tonight. Over on the left-hand side of the ESPN page that I just pulled up, they give it a slight edge to the Wolves tonight. That's why there's the two-point spread there. Having said all
together.
Of that, you know what I'm doing tonight. I'm rolling with the Denver Nuggets plus two.
Probably wise.
What would you do? You would also do the same.
I think they've pulled the heart out of Minnesota. I really do.
Last time I checked, they've won three in a row against Minnesota after losing the first two. Looks pretty convincing to me.
I think after they lost game three, Anthony Edwards was still talking to Jamal Murray like we're not. No, it was after they lost. That's what it was.
Okay.
It was after they lost game four. Anthony Edwards was like, no, we're not done, and you keep talking that stuff, we're going to come back at you. But after they lost game five,
yeah, it was a
where Jokic embarrassed Rudy Gobert, the four-time defensive player of the
year,
and they asked Anthony Edwards about Jokic afterwards, it was a different mood. It was less, we're going to get him. It was more, man, I don't know what the hell we're supposed to do with that guy. He's just the best in the league.
He's a load.
So more of, as opposed to seeing yourself winning this thing, even after they'd won two straight, right, we got this, there was more of that awe and, oh, my gosh, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And
they
don't
have an answer for him.
Again, and they had an answer for Anthony Edwards last game where they were literally throwing double teams at him.
Yes.
Every time he caught the ball, it led to a 5-of-15 performance, much different than the rest of the series. So I hate it.
And you can do that to him. You can
hate it because, again, if we're trying to trust you and fade you here, I'd want to go because I like your pick here. I like Denver to actually win tonight.
And by the way, the only reason I'm doing my best on these picks is I owe it to the listeners. I'm not going to BS you and make up some radio pick.
No, that's a garbage segment. Where you're trying to lose?
Yeah,
no, we want integrity.
This is not some fake segment. This is actually who I'm picking.
And we'll get through this. Again, Jeffrey and John remind me all the time when they're going through losing streaks or whatever else, you got to stay the course. There's going to be ups and there's downs.
Yes.
And so there's going to be ups and downs.
Even a loser gets one now and then.
In this case, the guy's going to get hot every once in a while.
Right.
But what do we know about Brad? He's one of the worst.
Definitely. One of the worst.
He wouldn't have such high limits if he wasn't.
That's right. I have the largest limits in the room. Yours are not far off, right?
Close enough to you that I am a square, but not America's square.
You're not America's
square. And if you are going to to sort of put the point on, if you're going to retain your title you got to get back to losing.
All right.
There
you have it. It's Nuggets
plus
two. Looks
like you picked a winner to me tonight.
And you're giving me points.
Be responsible,
it's like free
y'all.
Money, but
we don't need to give you the don't parlay advice tonight because there's only one game, but be responsible with this. Obviously, we're having a lot of fun here with this segment. I think Brad and I's main point here, and this has proven it, there are no real edges when it comes to betting, and particularly when it comes to betting the NBA playoffs. We're showing you that by our percentages.
Yeah, don't bet the farm.
That's what I'm saying. We're doing a service here. This is the way you should be doing it, frankly, just to have a little fun as opposed to thinking people got real edges.
Also,
to this stuff.
From a units perspective, I've never, even when I run my FanDuel limit up to $40,000 for a game, I usually bet $5. Like, I've got $15 sitting in my FanDuel account. The bet I'm about to make is the same parlay that you're going to make. It's the Bears and the Memphis Tigers. That's where my $15 is going. All 15 of it, mind you.
And I will tell you, I'm not making this up. And, yes, part of it's because it's our segment. It's on our show. But I'm getting all the feels it feels like I would have if I had actual money on it, just rooting against you, hoping that this goes well for the listeners. And so, no, you don't have to jump all the way in, right, to get the feels. You can still watch this thing.
Play
have some
along.
Fun. Exactly, Brad. Play along.
Play along.
Put a couple of dollars down. Have a little fun. Let's be responsible about it all. Before we get to Jeff Calkins at 125, before we talk about the NFL schedule release from last night. Jeff Calkins is going to join us bottom of the hour here in hour number three on the Jason and John Show. 1:19 is the time. I never do that.
Look at you, time check guy. Old radio guy, like the late Forrest Goodman, I always think of when people do that.
Thought I'd throw that in there, a little classic time check.
That is a staple of the Anchorman,
radio
Forrest
staple,
Goodman
right?
staple yeah. of old, kind of your Ernie Johnson-esque kind of fellas, right?
I don't know if I'll make
1:19, WMFS 92.9.
Probably got to leave it to the OGs. I don't know if I'll add it into my repertoire.
It becomes
it a little
rush.
Weird.
You can tell your phone has the time now, so most people.
Exactly. You don't need it the way you used to.
It's a little different.
NFL schedule's out.
Yeah.
Very exciting. as a Chicago Bears fan. But also more excited
of this stuff.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to do you a Chicago Bears segment.
Hey, feel free. This is your time before games actually start.
I know Jeff gets the big ratings around here. I heard him closing out his show on Bears.
We'll see.
So you're not going to make me feel guilty about what should be the biggest jump in the NFL this season, what the Bears are going to do.
Of course.
No, if you're a fan of the 49ers, if you're a fan of the Cowboys, if you're a fan of the Jets, you should be happy because those teams have got the most NFL primetime games in terms of 2024. All have six primetime games this year, which makes sense. I mean, San Francisco is obviously a Super Bowl team that has Super Bowl aspirations. And frankly, much like the Celtics, I think anything less is we're not going to care about. We're not going to care about another Super Bowl appearance for the Niners if Shanahan is not winning it. And so you get the infatuation with them, and I could certainly understand it for the Cowboys every year, America's team. Doesn't matter what they do and how they let you down in the playoffs like they did last year, getting blown out by Green Bay in the wild card round. A young Green Bay team, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest in the playoffs. Doesn't matter what they do or how they underachieve. Their fans are always going to come back to it. The NFL has recognized that is truly America's team, so you're going to get them with the most primetime games or among the most almost every year. Jets are the ones.
Oh boy!
You know, with six, it's all based on Aaron. They don't deserve to be here in the way that the 49ers and Cowboys deserve it. Cowboys have etched this out or whatever else. They don't deserve it in the same way. And so that sticks out. And again, Aaron Rodgers was going out four plays into the season last year with the torn Achilles. But remember, I mean, the hype was big before he got hurt. And frankly, I mean, the guy said he was healed up after a month. Frankly, with all this time, there's a good chance, I'm telling you right now, there's a good chance the Jets are what they were sort of hoped to be before last season and that first game and Aaron Rodgers going down. I think there's a good chance for the Jets to be the AFC East champion. Now, you don't see many out there saying that. They want to see Aaron Rodgers back. But they have gone out and gotten some offensive line help. Some of it a little old in the tooth, but they've added depth there in terms of protecting Aaron. I just think if you get Aaron with something to prove, again, maybe it's the Chicago Bears fan and me, the guy that's been beat down and abused by Aaron Rodgers that just believes in this guy can do whatever he puts his mind to. But I would not be surprised, again, if they are competing for the AFC East. I'm sure the Bills will be favored, maybe the Dolphins, but watch out for those Jets. I got no problem with them being six, even though at this point they haven't earned it. It's all about Aaron Rodgers. In terms of the other teams, well, where are the Chiefs? They're the ones that are going for a three-peat. They've got five. Bills have got five. Packers, five. Lions, five. Bengals, five. Ravens, five, as well as the Eagles and Dolphins. And so, again, all of the upper echelon teams on the most. That all makes sense. Rams here with five. That's the other team with five. Not so sure on, particularly now.
What do they got cooking
this
year?
Well, I like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp with Matthew Stafford. That offense got a chance to be high-powered when the two of them
healthy,
are in there.
Hopefully.
And Stafford. But again, Aaron Donald retired. And so your defense has taken a huge hit in the middle. I just see the Rams as a middle-of-the-road team this year. I could be completely wrong. They could be giving the Niners a run in the West, but I just don't see that coming. I think they're more of a middle-of-the-road team this year, much like the Seahawks. Again, much to prove defensively.
Yeah.
When you subtract an Aaron Donald, a Hall of Famer, who was in the prime of his career maybe on the down end of it as opposed to the prime, but you subtract him after 10 seasons, man, that defense is going to be much different looking this year. And so, again, Rams got five. I got a little bit of a problem with that, but not much of one. My Bears on three times. Titans fans, I'm sorry, you're only on once.
Oh, boy. Nobody wants to watch the Titans?
It's not the fewest.
Wow.
In terms of who nobody ever wants to watch in prime time, right now the only team that's got zero is the Carolina Panthers. Ew. Old Bryce Young has got a mess.
What are
over
they?
There
gonna, they're not going to be good again this year.
I know, and we get their I think second round pick.
Wow.
Still a part of that. Still a part of that DJ Moore deal for giving them the number one pick a couple of years ago. Colts, Patriots, Cardinals, and Titans are tied with the second fewest, with just one apiece. And I will tell you, because there were some pieces done over at ESPN and pieces done at The Athletic. You know, winners, losers. You see more of these, and mostly after drafts, but now we're doing it on schedule release and everything
else.
Like,
stuff.
Who won the schedule release? Now, some of that again, these social media teams that did the schedule really put in a ton of work.
Yes.
And many of the grades were about what they did.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've got the audio. But
I've got the Titans one.
The Tennessee
Titans. This is my favorite.
You liked it. Jeff say this morning it's a little bit of a repeat of what they did the year before, so he wasn't as impressed.
I love it.
I smirked and giggled. Let's see if it plays over the year.
So just to set up the context, it's the people of Nashville. So it's these bachelorette parties in Nashville and these randos.
They're out on Broadway.
These women who don't know what the hell is going on, and here's the clips.
Guys, Red Stallion girl, I'm here back on Broadway.
Asking people of Nashville the schedule release.
Oh, the Bengals. Yeah, I love the Bengals.
Love the Bengals.
Love Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, September 8th.
They peaked in 1970.
Yes. And? Over the cheese.
Okay.
Green Bay.
Okay, so Alex Earl's boyfriend.
Miami.
That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's Dak Prescott.
Yeah, got that one. October 13th.
I wouldn't want to be a table around him.
Table breakers, Buffalo.
Like, he will go on fourth every time. He just don't care. Like, he's like me if I play the NFL on my phone.
The Lions, the Madden
Mole. I know that they used to kick the Super Bowl's ass for a consecutive, like, maybe like 3 to 4 years straight with Tom Brady.
And then what happened?
It's not as funny, though.
So a couple of them are shots at the other teams as opposed to the misidentification of the team emblems.
I liked it when they were having more fun with the dummies. The dummies routine was more fun.
Yeah. So I didn't know if that would... I want to tell you the first time that we did it last year, that it didn't play as well over the air because a lot of it's visual.
Yes.
I will say it was better than what the Bears did. Theirs, I didn't understand. Again, I'm not even sure what it was a playoff of. Some of these are off shows and everything else. The Bears one was... a bunch of high school kids and their clothes. It didn't make any sense to me.
The NFL just does everything more elaborate and more strung out now than any other league.
Now, the Falcons had one where they did it like a video game.
And I haven't seen that one.
Devin Walker retweeted it out. Devin Walker, the
Memphis
Grizzlies.
Devin Walker is a very gifted social media guy from the Grizzlies.
And he recognized greatness in terms of the way Atlanta, who's got all kinds of issues in that quarterback room, everything else, but what they did was have a smart social media team. They put together, it was like a video game.
Oh, cool.
Grand Theft Auto looking.
Graphics and cool stuff.
They got Michael Vick in it. They got a shout out to Dion in it. They paid homage to a lot of former Falcons, but also kept it cool and current.
Neat.
It's really well done, and more so, I thought, you know, again, I'm going a route like that as opposed to trying to get all these guys to do, you know, not actors, these football players trying to be actors in some of these, like the Bears did it. It just, too much effort for very little deliver in terms of what it delivered. You didn't get much. We'll say Bears, though, third easiest schedule in the league.
I actually like your schedule a lot. You could get that over 8.5.
Memphis football, Bears football, numbers the same, 8.5 on both. We're going over, baby. Ryan Silverfield going over. Eberflus going over. I mean, I cannot tell you how confident I feel about both of those. Again, it's the same thing. Easy schedules on both sides. Bears got the third easiest schedule in the league this year. Some are saying fourth. Athletics got as the third easiest. Titans, y'all got to come see us to open up. So you Titans fans that are shaking and quibbling in your boots right now, I know you're shaking. You're worried. Is Will Levis the guy? We don't know. Going to face a juggernaut week one. Somebody new to the scene in terms of contending in the AFC. I can't wait for Chicago Bears football. Hell, might be going to training camp in late July.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, going to Bourbon.
That's a good place for you and Faith to go visit Chicago, have some
fun. Was, I took Chris up there 10 years ago when he was a little baby. Only 6 months old. He just come out of the womb in January. I was so excited that year about Jay Cutler. Now, don't ask me why, but I thought it was going to be a turning point. And so we went up. I took the baby. Faith was miserable. Hot. She's got the stroller. The kid's months old. She's like, what are we doing here? I'm like, shut up. It's my first time in training camp. I don't want to. Give me the kid. I'll hold him then. It's a terrible experience. This would be 10 years later. Yeah. Chris is more grown, right? He's matured. He's 10 years old. He would know what he's looking at. Wouldn't have to carry him. And Caleb Williams is the quarterback. And maybe there's never been such anticipation around a Bears season since I don't know, 86.
Be careful, though. You could be the kiss of death if you did it with Cutler. I mean, this. I don't want history to repeat itself. You go up there and voodoo.
I'm afraid the reason why we won't do it is not just it's hot up there in late July. You know that Illinois area is just as hot as it does down here. Yeah. But also because it's going to be a madhouse.
Right. Like the Lions 10 years ago, Bourbonnais, I think they do it at Olivet, Nazarene University.
You the South. It's the Kankakee.
The Lions are unbelievable. It was
they don't have a lot of room down
Can you imagine what it's going to be like now? Again, when Jeff Calkins is talking about the Bears on his show, when the Bears are literally the talk of the NFL going into this season, the jump they're going to make.
No.
It's going to be ballistic with folks. And so that might get a little... Maybe it might be a reason why I don't make it. But we've got to get to Jeff Calkins on the other side. You listen to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jeff Calkins. Columnist for the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. You hear it every day from 9 to 11 a.m. Read him at DailyMemphian.com. Follow him on X at Jeff_Calkins. That's Jeff with a G. You guys know that by now. Jeff, I got to say, I feel like we're sort of in the same boat on something that maybe it hasn't occurred to you yet. We've got a segment called Fade Brad that I know you're aware of, but it's hurting right now. You know, the popularity of that segment is dwindling because Brad has gone from being very good at picking losers to now he's picking winners. 7 of his last 10. Yeah, he's now winning. So you can't really fade.
Grade winners?
I mean, I don't know if the guy's becoming an expert or what's happening or if he's changed his process. Actually, I know he hasn't changed his process. Still just looks at the injury reports. Still just looks at who's home and away. But all of a sudden, he's hitting on these. And so I fear that this segment, the future of it going forward, if we don't get more losses, we may be losing popularity here. We may have to kill the segment. That said, today... Yeah. I heard, and I am, you know how much I'm a devout listener. I listen to every minute of your show, so I know everything. You set Jeffrey Wright up for failure in Writer Than Right Trivia by you posing as Kevin Cerrito. Notice that you've had to patch some things together the last couple of weeks. We didn't have Jeffrey the week before, but I'm wondering today if you may not be facing some of this. If you keep setting him up for losses like you did today.
Right.
I mean, it's the most popular segment on Memphis radio. That thing's going to be Herbert. So watch out. Let's get back to Cerrito.
You know, the thing is, though, is that...
Consistency.
People don't count... I mean, no one is betting on Jeffrey Wright, whereas the whole idea
it's
is
the same
to fade...
Thing. Well, but Jeffrey, it's sort of like Stump the Schwab. He is so good at what he did, right? That's the... Jeffrey wins every week. And so you're right. I mean, technically... I guess there's not any money going in on it. We do look to Jeffrey as the oracle. And so when you are setting him up to fail, you know, I don't know that that's going to be...
You want to know, the truth is the bigger struggle has been, once college football season gets going, we do Jeffrey's bets.
Yes.
And every Friday. And for many years, he would make money on Jeffrey's bets.
Oh, I know.
Now, I don't like... since fatherhood... You know, and distractions, Jeffrey's, and honestly, he put so much into this damn trivia thing.
I was going to say.
You know, he's undefeated in trivia. It's hard to keep all the balls in the air. You know this as a father yourself. And so his bets on college football have, I think the last 2 years, I think he hasn't broken even. And it's like John Martin with the pick segment you all used to do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then just John threw in the towel. He said, screw this. And I happen to know that John actually usually makes money in his own betting. But, I mean, more often than not, I think John does pretty well.
Yeah.
But when you did the Patty's Picks thing, like, in the end, Patty was getting killed.
Sure was.
And then you got to take Patty out and did like the governor of South Carolina, South Dakota. You got to put a bullet in that segment's head, you know? Like, if a dog that, like, smells or something, like, is what'd she do? The dog was rambunctious, and so she shot the damn thing. No, it was a goat. She shot a goat
that
smelled.
Right. Yeah.
The goat that smelled and butted people. And the dog, I don't know what its problem was. But anyway, that's what you all did with Patty's Picks. And you may have to do, not with Brad himself, but with this segment, have to do the same thing.
Because
take it out to a construction site like she did and just...
Out to pasture.
Boom.
Put that thing down. No, you're right.
Yeah.
If he...
Good for Brad, by the way, though, because, you know... He got up off the deck. This whole thing was being based on him, you know, on his inability
how bad
to
he is at
pick
it.
Basketball
right.
games. And I'm glad he showed the pride, not unlike the Denver Nuggets, you know, got up off the deck.
I truly did.
And said, like the champion he is, and is 10 straight. Maybe he's just going to have to flip the segment around. Pick with Brad, you know.
Yep, tail Brad. That's what John said we would call it if we ever got to that. We just know, I mean, Brad's never going to be on that much of a heater.
No,
where he stays
no.
That. Otherwise, he would have much lower limits on draft.
You know, it's every time ever since he got the new car. He's driving around. Yeah. He's got new confidence. He's got new. I swear to God, he was ever since he got the new car. He's been lighting it up.
Yeah.
Jeff, I had after listening to you and Harrington today, and watching last night. You know, whether it was the way Dallas was manhandling OKC on the boards, and again, they do it different ways, right? Or Celtics did the same thing to the Cavs. It got me to thinking about how badly we need this big next to Jaren, and how you can't just say, oh man, we want Jaren at the five, it's going to be fine, and all of a sudden he's becoming this, you know, 10 to 12 rebound per game guy. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And this isn't news. I mean, Zach Kleiman said they need that guy, but watching last night, and again, whether it's Hartenstein with the Knicks or just having that energy guy around the bucket, it was so clear to me. It became even more crystallized last night. You have got to go get that big, and I would so much prefer it be a veteran rather than a rookie center where you're hoping to patch it together. Maybe you add that to a Drummond or whatever else. And so, again, listening to you and Chris, I just thought to the sort of draft, the trade scenario that you brought up. You know, Marcus Smart, the 9 pick for a guy like Jared Allen, which seems to fit you in so many ways in terms of, you know, that's not a guy who's going to be asking for the ball, but certainly a guy who can run to the rim, catch alleys, be a defensive presence for you, brings that rebounding that I need. That, Jeff, I think if you're going to be a contender with Denver and OKC and Minnesota next year, or even, you know, beyond that, you have to have that guy. You can't just hope Jaren becomes something when we've seen it literally, you know, you dropped to 25th in rebounding last year with him playing center. I like Marcus Smart and the number 9 for Jared Allen. Do you think, like, just like it sounded like you and Chris Harrington did, do you think there's any chance we really get to something like that? Whether it's Jared Allen or anybody else, spending real assets to go get that guy because it's that important if you're going to be a contender.
Yeah, I mean, any individual trade, if you say, is it likely? It's probably not likely, right? Like, in terms of the Jared Allen trade, we don't know that you're going to trade him. There will be other offers. So any trade, no, it's probably unlikely. What I liked about the discussion, though, is that, you know, as soon as they get the 9 pick, you hear people say, trade the pick, trade the pick, trade the pick. And I always say, raise my hand and say, for who? In the abstract, like, as an abstract, you know, a concept, sure, fine, but like, give me some ideas of who you think might be available and might be worth the pick. And so if you look at Cleveland's situation, they kind of have a couple of redundancies there. They've got with Mitchell and Garland in the backcourt.
Yep.
Those two, you know, similar skill sets. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell's the better player, but you know, so there's Garland was an all-star, honestly, just 2 years ago, I think. So there's one problem. And then up front, you also have, you know, a redundancy. And so can you imagine that Jared Allen might become available? I actually can imagine that he might become available. And can you imagine that is a package that, let's say, the Cavs decide they have to tweak things. They persuade Mitchell to stay. They trade Garland because they have to, you know, whatever. They got it. There's some redundancy there. And then they decide to trade Jared Allen, maybe putting Marcus Smart next to Donovan Mitchell. They want to win now.
Yep.
They get the number 9. I can actually – it is a deal that makes sense to me, which, of course, doesn't mean it'll happen, but it is a deal that makes sense to me. And so, you know, if someone can, I've heard very little else in terms of deals that make sense. It is funny though. You look around like the Knicks and Hartenstein, like he just was knocking around the league for a while. You know, he's not someone that you invest vast assets in, and yet he's doing a, you know, terrific job, obviously, for the Knicks. So, I'm with you. Very clearly, you know, the Grizzlies need – I don't even think the Grizzlies deny. They know they need rebounding. They know they need a center. They said as much.
Right.
The only question is going to be, do they need a center who is going to be a starting center who is going to, you know, be the
– Yes.
You know, they need someone who in matchups can fit, who might not be the, you know, everyday starting center? I tend to think I'd like to see him with a big-ass starting center, but
yes,
that's me.
It's time to go all in. You only got Jaren for sure for two more years. It can't be about what you're hoping it to be. And, you know, you got to get in the race.
Right.
All right, Drew Hill is – you guys are getting your money's worth from what he's doing, all the work he's doing from the combine,
yeah.
Obviously. He's hitting Tigers because he's talking to David Jones. He's hitting every lottery pick. The Grizzlies might be interested as well. I'm just curious, Jeff, based on what David Jones was telling him, you know, saying, hey, it ain't all about the money. If it was about all about the money, it'd already be back at Memphis. Did it change anything you feel in terms of – likelihood chances that you will get David Jones back, that Penny Hardaway will get him back to Memphis? Anything that he told you will change your mind or your percentage?
I thought it crystallized the situation, right? Basically, he's saying, if anyone gives me a decent shot,
anything,
you know, if anyone, I'm going, right? You know, he wants to, it's not about making more money at Memphis. It's feeling like he's going to have a legitimate shot. And if someone comes through with that, one team, indicates enthusiasm for him, maybe a two-way, he'll go. And I don't blame him. Right? At this age, I think his priorities are probably right. And so so the question is will someone, even one team, express that level of enthusiasm? And I still think it's unlikely just because of the, you know, just because he's a high volume, he's a smallish, high volume, non-defender, non-ball handling, volume shooter. And that doesn't sound like what an NBA team, any NBA team, honestly, would be particularly interested in.
True. Yeah.
So, and every time I say that, I feel like I'm,
I know,
you know,
because we want to make you feel like you're beating him up, but we're talking about the difference between an NBA,
right. It is what he is, yeah. You know, I mean, that is, or at least what he is so far. Now, you give him full credit when you learn, you know, how that he's not a big guy, and you look at his rebounding.
My gosh,
numbers,
yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying he doesn't bust his ass and he's not a really good college basketball player and that there isn't even room to become better at the things that he's not good at.
Right.
But right now, I have a hard time believing that an NBA team is going to say, yeah, come on, you know. And so I still think it is. He put it at 50-50. Penny put it at 70-30. I like Penny's numbers better. I think that seems more likely, don't you?
Yep, I'm with you completely on that. No question about it. I'm leaning towards Penny, and I am still, even after, you know, he tried to say it's 50-50. So I'm with you, Jeff, as I usually am, man. Appreciate you and appreciate your time, brother. Thank you, Jeff. He is Jeff Coffin. Make sure you're reading him over at Daily Memphian. Make sure you're following him on X at Jeff_Calkins. Best to ever do it, as far as I'm concerned. Jeff Calkins. Columnist for the Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and here every day from 9 to 11 a.m. Read him at DailyMemphian.com. Follow him on X at Jeff_Calkins. That's Jeff with a G. You guys know that by now. Jeff, I got to say, I feel like we're sort of in the same boat on something that maybe you haven't, it hasn't occurred to you yet. We've got a segment called Fade Brad that I know you're aware of, but it's hurting right now. You know, the popularity of that segment is dwindling because Brad has gone from being very good at picking losers to now he's picking winners. Seven of his last 10, he's now winning. So you can't really fade
Brad. Winners?
I mean, I don't know if the guy's becoming an expert or what's happening or if he's changed his process. Actually, I know he hasn't changed his process. Still just looks at the injury reports. Still just looks at who's home and away. But all of a sudden, he's hitting on these. And so I fear that this segment, the future of it going forward, if we don't get more losses, we may be losing popularity here. We may have to kill the segment. That said, today, I heard, and I am, you know how much I'm a devout listener. I listen to every minute of your show, so I know everything. You set Jeffrey Wright up for failure in Writer Than Right Trivia by you posing as Kevin Cerrito. Notice that you've had to patch some things together the last couple of weeks. We didn't have Jeffrey the week before, but I'm wondering today if you may not be facing some of this. If you keep setting him up for losses like you did today,
right.
I mean, it's the most popular segment on Memphis radio. That thing's going to be Herbert. So watch out. Let's get back to Cerrito.
You know, the thing is, though, is that
consistency.
People don't count. I mean, no one is betting on Jeffrey Wright, whereas the whole idea is
the same
to fade.
Well, But Jeffrey, it's sort of like stump the Schwab. He is so good at what he does, right? That's the Jeffrey wins every week. And so you're right. I mean, technically, I guess there's not any money going in on it. We do look to Jeffrey as the oracle. And so when you are setting him up to fail, you know, I don't know that that's going to be.
You want to know, the truth is the bigger struggle has been, like, for once college football season gets going, we do Jeffrey's bets.
Yes.
And every Friday. And for many years, he would make money on Jeffrey's bets.
Oh, I know.
Now, I don't like, since fatherhood, you know, and distractions, Jeffrey's, and honestly, he put so much into this damn trivia thing.
I was going to say.
You know, he's undefeated in trivia. It's hard to keep all the balls in the air. You know this as a father yourself. And so his bets on college football have, I think the last 2 years, I think he hasn't broken even. And it's like John Martin with the pick segment you all used to do.
Oh,
and then just John threw in the towel. He said, screw this. And I happen to know that John actually usually makes money in his own betting. But, I mean, more often than not, I think John does pretty well.
Yeah.
But when you did the Patty's Picks thing, like, in the end, Patty was getting killed.
Sure was.
So then you got to take Patty out and did like the governor of South Carolina, South Dakota. You got to put a bullet in that segment's head, you know? Like, if a dog that, like, smells or something, like, is what'd she do? The dog was slightly rambunctious, and so she shot the damn thing. No, it was a goat. She shot a goat
that
smelled.
Right. Yeah.
The goat that smelled and butted people, and the dog... I don't know what its problem was. But anyway, that's what you all did with Patty's Picks. And you may have to do, not with Brad himself, but with this segment, have to do the same thing.
Because
take it out to a construction site like she did and just
out to pasture.
Boom.
Put that thing down. No, you're right.
Yeah.
If he
good for Brad, by the way, though, because, you know, he got up off the deck. This whole thing was being based on him, you know, on his inability to pick basketball games. And I'm glad he showed the pride, not unlike the Denver Nuggets, you know, got up off the deck.
I truly did.
And said, like a champion he is, and it's 10 straight. Maybe you're just going to have to flip the segment around. Pick with Brad, you know?
Yep, tail Brad. That's what John said we would call it if we ever got to that. We just know, I mean, Brad's never going to be on that much of a heater.
No,
he stays
that.
Otherwise, he would have much lower limits on draft
games. You know what it is? Ever since he got the new car. He's driving around.
Yeah.
He's got new confidence. He's got new. I swear to God, he was. Ever since he got the new car, he's been lighting it up.
Yeah.
Jeff, I had a. After listening to you and Harrington today, and watching last night, you know, whether it was the way Dallas was manhandling OKC on the boards, and again, they do it different ways, right? Or Celtics did the same thing to the Cavs. It got me to thinking about how badly we need this big next to Jaren, and how you can't just say, oh, man, we want Jaren at the five. It's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, he's becoming this, you know, 10 to 12 rebound per game guy. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And this isn't news. I mean, Zach Kleiman said they need that guy. But watching last night, and again, whether it's Hartenstein with the Knicks or just having that energy guy around the bucket, it was so clear to me. It became even more crystallized last night. You have got to go get that big, and I would so much prefer it be a veteran rather than a rookie center where you're hoping to patch it together. Maybe you add that to a Drummond or whatever else. And so, again, listening to you and Chris, I just thought to the sort of the trade scenario that you brought up, you know, Marcus Smart, the 9 pick for a guy like Jared Allen, which seems to fit you in so many ways in terms of, you know, that's not a guy who's going to be asking for the ball, but certainly a guy who can run to the rim, catch alleys, be a defensive presence for you, brings that rebounding that I need. That, Jeff, I think if you're going to be a contender with Denver and OKC and Minnesota next year, or even, you know, beyond that, you have to have that guy. You can't just hope Jaren becomes something when we've seen it literally, you know, you dropped to 25th in rebounding last year with him playing center. I like Marcus Smart and the number 9 for Jared Allen. Do you think, like, just like it sounded like you and Chris Harrington did, do you think there's any chance we really get to something like that? Whether it's Jared Allen or anybody else, spending real assets to go get that guy because it's that important if you're going to be a contender.
Yeah, I mean, any individual trade, if you say, is it likely? It's probably not likely, right? Like, in terms of the Jared Allen trade, we don't know that you're going to trade him. There will be other offers. So any trade... no, it's probably unlikely. What I What I liked about the discussion, though, is that, you know, as soon as they get the 9 pick, you hear people say, trade the pick, trade the pick, trade the pick. And I always say, raise my hand and say, for who? Right. In the abstract, like as an abstract, you know, a concept, sure, fine. But, like, give me some ideas of who you think might be available and might be worth the pick. And so if you look at Cleveland's situation, they kind of have a couple of redundancies there. They've got with Mitchell and Garland in the backcourt.
Yep.
Those two, you know, similar skill sets. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell's the better player, but you know, there's Garland was an all-star, honestly, just 2 years ago, I think. So there's one problem, and then up front, you also have you know, a redundancy. And so can you imagine that Jared Allen might become available? I actually can't imagine that he might become available. And can you imagine that that is a package that, let's say, the Cavs decide they have to tweak things. They persuade Mitchell to stay. They trade Garland because they have to, you know, whatever. They got it. There's some redundancy there. And then they decide to trade Jared Allen, maybe putting Marcus Smart next to Donovan Mitchell. They want to win now.
Yep.
They get the number 9. I can actually... It is a deal that makes sense to me, which, of course, doesn't mean it'll happen, but it is a deal that makes sense to me. And so, you know, if someone can... I've heard very little else in terms of deals that make sense. It is funny, though. You look around, like the Knicks and Hardenstein, like he just was knocking around the league for a while. You know, he's not someone that you know, you invest vast assets in, and yet he's doing a, you know, terrific job, obviously. For the Knicks. So I'm with you. Very clearly, you know, the Grizzlies need... I don't even think the Grizzlies deny. They know they need rebounding. They know they need a center. They said as much.
Right.
The only question is going to be, do they need a center who is going to be a starting center who is going to, you know, be the...
Yes.
You know, or do they need someone who in matchups can fit, who might not be the, you know, everyday starting center. I tend to think I'd like to see him with a big-ass starting center, but
yes,
that's me.
It's time to go all in. You only got Jaren for sure for 2 more years. It can't be about what you're hoping it to be, and, you know, you got to get in the race. You got to get in the race.
Right.
All right, Drew Hill is – you guys are getting your money's worth from what he's doing, all the work he's doing from the combine, obviously.
Yeah.
He's hitting Tigers because he's talking to David Jones. He's hitting every lottery pick. The Grizzlies might be interested as well. I'm just curious, Jeff, based on what David Jones was telling him, you know, saying, hey, it ain't all about the money. If it was all about the money, it'd already be back at Memphis. Did it change anything you feel in terms of – likelihood, chances that you will get David Jones back, that Penny Hardaway will get him back to Memphis? Anything that he told you will change your mind or your percentage?
I thought it crystallized the situation, right? Basically, he's saying, if anyone gives me a decent shot,
anything,
you know, if anyone, I'm going, right? You know, he wants to, it's not about making more money at Memphis, it's feeling like he's going to have a legitimate shot. And if someone comes through with that, one team, indicates enthusiasm for him, maybe a two-way, he'll go. And I don't blame him, right? At this age, I think his priorities are probably right. And so so the question is will someone, even one team, express that level of enthusiasm? And I still think it's unlikely just because of the, you know, just because he's a high volume, he's a smallish, high volume, non-defender, non-ball handling volume shooter. And that doesn't sound like what an NBA team, any NBA team, honestly, would be particularly interested in.
True. Yeah.
So, and every time I say that, I feel like I'm,
I know,
you know,
because we want to make you feel like you're beating him up. But we're talking about the difference between an NBA,
right. It is what he is, yeah. You know, I mean, that is, or at least what he is so far. Now, you give him full credit when you learn, you know, how that he's not a big guy, and you look at his rebounding.
My gosh,
numbers,
yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying he doesn't bust his ass and he's not a really good college basketball player and that there isn't even room to become better at the things that he's not good at.
Right.
But right now, I have a hard time believing that an NBA team is going to say, yeah, come on, you know? And so I still think it is, he put it at 50-50, Penny put it at 70-30. I like Penny's numbers better. I think that seems more likely, don't you?
Yep, I'm with you completely on that. No question about it. I'm leaning towards Penny, and I am still, even after, you know, he tried to say it's 50-50. So I'm with you, Jeff, as I usually am, man. Appreciate you and appreciate your time, brother. Thank you, Jeff. He is Jeff Coffin. Make sure you're reading him over at Daily Memphian. Make sure you're following him on X at Jeff_Calkins. Best to ever do it, as far as I'm concerned. We're going to be back to wrap it up. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, thought very interesting, and it goes right along with what we've been saying, the position that Memphis football is in. Over to ESPN, they've got a list of the 10 G5, group of five teams that can make the playoff in a countdown, okay, going from 10 to 1. Guess who ESPN's got as number one of the group of five teams that can make the playoff?
Memphis.
If Boise State doesn't have the most upside, Memphis does. Boise State's second, Liberty's third. Told y'all this is big, huge opportunity for Memphis football this year. And it ain't just us here in Memphis that have recognized that this is real, an opportunity to seize the college football playoff spots. You got to take it. Just win the American. That's the expectation, and maybe you'll be in that running, hopefully beating out of Boise State. Thank you to our guests today, Drew Hill and Jeff Calkins. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone. ESPN. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, thought very interesting, and it goes right along with what we've been saying, the position that Memphis football is in. Over to ESPN, they've got a list of the 10 G5, group of five teams that can make the playoff in a countdown, okay, going from 10 to 1. Guess who ESPN's got as number one of the group of five teams that can make the playoff?
Memphis.
If Boise State doesn't have the most upside, Memphis does. Boise State's second, Liberty's third. Told y'all this is big, huge opportunity for Memphis football this year. And it ain't just us here in Memphis that have recognized that this is real, an opportunity to seize the college football playoff spots. You got to take it. Just win the American. That's the expectation, and maybe you'll be in that running, hopefully beating out of Boise State. Thank you to our guests today, Drew Hill and Jeff Calkins. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.